It's time for the No Shot Clock Podcast. We're talking the biggest stories in Illinois high school basketball. Now, here are your hosts, Michael O'Brien of the Chicago Sun-Times and Joe Hendrickson of the City Suburban Boost Report.
Welcome to the 100th episode. We have an awful lot planned, but nothing very special, considering it's the 100th episode, except for in the preseason meeting, pre-podcast meeting, Joe and I decided that there is nothing that we do that is stupider than the preseason All-State teams, so we're not doing them anymore.
A decision on the fly that's... it's a pretty anticlimactic all-state team with no purpose. So, yeah, scratch it.
It's completely dumb. I was sitting here trying to find a big for my hypothetical second.
Michael Bryan's infatuation with the big men on his all-state teams.
So that is all over until the postseason. We're never dealing with that again preseason. So instead of that, you'll be happy to know we've come up with some much better stuff. First, Joe and I have each picked three sleeper teams that kind of maybe just missed our Super 25 or might by the end of the year maybe be that good. Three teams we're watching, three sleepers. Then we've got five guys who we think are going to have breakout years, and then five guys who are underappreciated. Then we're going to hit the five storylines we're watching this season, and then we're going to wrap up with a preview of the first week of the season. Thanksgiving basketball, the Joe Hendrickson's favorite week of the year. We're gonna probably not dive very deep on it, but we'll take a look.
I think, Mike, your hatred for hatred's too strong.
Consolation.
Well, consolation bracket games. I don't have that deep of a Thanksgiving tournament. I just think the Thanksgiving tournament week, while exciting and fun and a good peek into the future of what's about to happen in the season, is again magnified a little bit too much sometimes. But I'll calm you back down on the next podcast.
It'll be necessary
when Mike's all revved up.
I'm currently undergoing a consolation personal hell decision. On Friday is the city championship for football. It is Morgan Park against Simeon. Big deal. But technically, in my mind, you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a consolation game.
You lost.
Yeah, so it's driving me insane.
Wait, who's playing?
It's Simeon versus Morgan Park. So it's going to be a big deal. I'm sure the readers would like it, but I know in my... So I haven't, like, committed to do it yet.
Wait for the December matchup. Wait for the December one inside.
I think they moved it to January.
Oh.
Which it was originally scheduled for December, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they moved it to like mid-January, which is good. We're talking about basketball now, everybody. So you can wait. I guess by the time this podcast is out, the world will know if I've gone to the Consolation City Championship game. But anyway, let's get started here. First up is the sleeper teams. I guess we'll kind of rotate. You want to go first with your first pick, Joe?
Yeah, Mike. If there's one team I think could have crept into your top 25 that I would have definitely had, it's Loyola. And I just – we know how Loyola plays. We know what they do. But to me, they're just a team that has become a program. And Tom Levitino's an unbelievable job. They have some constants there that you can rely on. You know, their toughness, their defensive play. They also have two Division I players, Jordan and Bennett Kwasinski. Are you know headed to one's going to Siena and one's going to Drake. They're 6'8". They're versatile, and I think when you start there, and then you couple that with what they did last year, winning a regional, 23 wins, and they did that a month without their best player, Connor Barrett. So I just think Loyola is a team that they're a constant, like I said, that you just kind of depend on what they'll be and what they'll do and how they'll play. So Loyola is the one team that I think they can win the Catholic League. You know, DePaul Prep and Fenwick will be right there. But And I think they have a really good chance of making a deep push in March. So Loyola's my first team as one that wasn't in your preseason top 25.
Yeah, they are one of the ones that I equivocated about back and forth. In the end, I decided not to because I put them in last year. And sometimes these are things that go on in my sick little mind. But if I gave you the benefit of that last year, then sometimes the next year you have to play yourself in. So went with some new blood instead. But yeah, Loyola should be very fun to watch this year. I'm especially excited to see Vaughn Pemberton, who's become a monster in football, see how he translates over to basketball.
And again, they always seem to have guys that kind of have some really good off seasons that no one's ever talked about or seen, you know. Now, Matty Enghauser is a kid that played last year, 6'3", 6'4", on the wing, could shoot it. I think he's going to have a terrific year. And a no-namer, Billy Palmer, at a point guard, he's had a great offseason for them and just a tough son of a gun at lead guard. So, yeah, I just – it's a 20-plus win team again. So, you know, it's just going to be a team that's going to – they'll be in your rankings at some point.
No doubt. My first is Deerfield. Deerfield was 21-11 last year, and they have their top two scorers back from a 21-win team. 6'11", Brandon Lieb, who really impressed me last year, and 6'7", Walt Mattingly, who's a really interesting player. He can, you know, put it on the floor. He can shoot it. He's athletic. They also have Joey Shapiro, a 6'4", forward back. But there's a big question for them in my mind, and you can probably guess what it is already. It's the backcourt. The guards, and that's going to be really important, you know, for every high school basketball team, but especially for Deerfield. If they can figure that out, the sky is the limit for them, especially because now they are down in Class 3A. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later, but this is going to be one of the big benefits of that. There is good size, though, even with the guards, you know, that they're looking at. Zach Friedman is a 6'4 junior. Quinn Halperin, a 6'3 junior. They have a sophomore they like that's going to be on varsity, Luke Woodson. So there's good size here. You just, if they can have a high quality top ball handler, there's so much I think this team could do this season. Also, this is a weird feel thing, but I really liked the feel around this team last year. You know, I saw them at the DePaul prep shootout. They competed really well. Then I was in Deerfield for a game late in the season. And it's just, this team has a feel that they can maybe do something special this season, I think.
Well, and you look at, they have something that a lot of high school teams just don't have. That's a lot of size and a lot of length, you know, and Walter Manley is really improved. He's just a junior, and you got two, you know, 13, 14 point per game guys back with him and Lieb that, and as you mentioned, the 3A thing, I mean, they won a regional last year. I believe they won a regional last year I'm pretty sure in 4A. So, it is definitely a team to keep an eye on, especially if they get closer, you know, to March when 3A rolls around.
My
second team is Oak Forest. And, you know, this is a team that we talked a little bit about in the first podcast, very little basketball history. You know, they had a fantastic season in the 80s. I just remember Larry Gorman, the big guy, mid 80s. They have not had anywhere close to a season, and that's four decades ago. So this is exciting time for Oak Forest. And Jason Kent, he's a 6'5", 6'6". He's an emerging talent. He is a Division I prospect who received some Division I interest and offers early. He's going to play this year out. He's a late blooming kid, terrific shooter. Comes out of his hands soft. You know, Robbie Avila is a sophomore, 6'8". He is one of the impactful freshmen that we saw last year with some very good numbers as a freshman. So he's only getting better, skilled, big, who can kind of step out, get some things done. He's got to add strength. And then, you know, Juan Avila, he's back from a 23-win team. The older brother of Robbie Avila. Devin Tolbert's really an underrated point guard for them. So they got a lot of things going right for the Bengals this year. Depth could be an issue. But I just think they're going to make a push, and they'll probably be another team that emerges as, you know, top 25-ish over the course of the season.
I'm so excited to see Oak Forest. I'm going to get out there as soon as I can over the first couple weeks of the season. Really kind of pumped for that school and program to have maybe a really special few years like this that they could possibly with those young kids. My next, Farragut. I guess I feel like I'm kind of an Admirals homer on the podcast, but they lost Aaron Strong. Obviously, that's a huge loss. A couple other guys, but there is so much back on this team, and they have a chip on their shoulder. I think we all remember how the season ended last year for them, with a team they thought had a really good chance to get to state. Didn't get that opportunity. You know, there was the big brawl at the end of the year. But what they have back is just classic Farragut. I mean, if there's a Wolf Nelson team, they don't have any superstars. There's no stars. But they've got guys that Wolf Nelson wins with. The first guy I'd like to mention is not a name anybody knows about, who knows about his college stuff. His name's Malik Williams. He's a junior. He's the guy that last year had to step up and take Reggie Strong's spot when Reggie Strong left for St. Joseph. So he played all season as the point guard as a sophomore. And he's a tremendous defensive player, handles the ball real well. He doesn't put up huge scoring totals, but he can score. And I think him back with a year of experience, and then with these pieces around him, Denaro Bolden is a big, strong senior. He was out all of last year with an injury. He's back. 6'4", Derek Clark was really good at the end of last year. He missed some time to injury, too. And then there's these two sophomores, Mike Kwan and Michael Jones. They both played a lot last year. They're big, strong kids. They're Red West players, and this whole team is just, they're loaded with guys like that. They're also excited about a sophomore, Christopher Green, and a junior, CJ Ellis. So the numbers are going to be low again. They have been for Farragut lately. And I think it might take a while because these kids are almost all underclassmen. But I think by the time we get to sectional time, Farragut's going to be a really, really scary team.
I mean, they won 20 games last year. And my question to you right now is, can they break into that top three stranglehold of top the Red West, Red North with Young or Lincoln Park? Or are they just going to settle back into that 4 or 5 spot?
I think they'll be in the 4 or 5 spot, but I think they can win the sectional, you know, in 3A. Mm-hmm. I think they're a March problem. And it'll depend if any of these guys can turn into a consistent scorer. Because right now we don't know. They're all so young, and Aaron Strong took what? 80% of the shots, 90% yeah. last year. So I think a lot of these kids can score a lot more than I know because they just weren't asked to do that at all. So that's the big question mark, you know, how much scoring turns out of these underclassmen.
Not only the scoring, but the kind of the toughness and presence that Aaron Strong brought. That's, you know, Farragut kids are usually an abundance of toughness. And so that shouldn't be a problem, but he did provide a lot of that little mojo for them. I'm changing my third team on the fly. Mike and I had briefly talked about who we were going to talk about because we want to repeat teams. And but I just realized I wanted to include Buffalo Grove as my third team. Just because, you know, you look at last year, they won 18 games last year you know, in the Mid-Suburban League. And they had one of the probably the most productive freshman season of any freshman in the state of Illinois, Cam Kraft. He averaged close to 21 points a game as a freshman. He came out like gangbusters at the beginning of the year, you know, added 6-7 rebounds a game. So he's a sophomore, you know, a lanky perimeter kid who can shoot it, natural scorer. And he kind of an unsung kid who could be on one of our lists later in this podcast. Nate Cole, he's a 6'4 senior. He averaged 13 points a game last year, just a veteran guy for them. So I just think Buffalo Grove has a chance to take advantage of a wide open Mid-Suburban League. And, you know, with some other key parts, you know, Tyler Kipley at point guard and Matt Brunelli, a shooter on the perimeter, it's got the makeup of a 20-plus win team. And we haven't heard a whole lot from Buffalo Grove in recent years. And I think they're ready to make a push and open some eyes and get some people talking.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. I really enjoy it. I just, you know, saw them once last year, went out. Maybe I might have seen them over the holidays. But I went out to see Cam Kraft against Max Christie last year. And Cam Kraft scored, I don't know, 20-some. And Nate Cole, you were talking about, put up like 20 and 10. And they're a tough team, hard-nosed. It's going to be a lot of fun. Cam Kraft, he kind of snuck up on us a little bit last year, but remember, he scored 31 in his debut as a freshman on varsity.
Yeah, well, and you That's know those crazy. Teams that, you know, you talk about like in this type of list and this kind of way in the preseason, and then all of a sudden they are 18-2. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but you know, like the Genevas of the world that kind of snuck up on some people. And, you know, here and there, there's those teams that just do that. They potentially could be one of those teams.
My last one is North Lawndale, another West Side team. They were 17-12 last year, and they've got an awful lot back. Five guys back that played a ton. Davion Rogers, kid who scored 26 against Morgan Park late in the season. He's a kind of undersized senior guard. And then a really athletic 6'4 senior, Javante Brackens. Another, their point guard is Jamar Wilkins. Explosive kid. Another high flyer is Larry Johnson. And then they have two kids I've heard a ton about over the last few months. Two freshmen, Ronald Chambers and Demarion Wyatt. And I think that adds up to it. You notice I picked all 3A teams here because these are all teams I think that are going to be able to make a real run in 3A. And I think North Lawndale, like Farragut, probably doesn't have enough to compete with those upper echelon Red West teams, at least on the road. Who knows what's going to happen at home at Collins. But I think this is another team that can make a really nice run in 3A.
Yeah, though I've got to look at those freshmen, Mike, and they're legit. They are fun guards. Demarion White's 5'11", kind of a combo guard. Ronald Chambers, 6-foot point guard. They are two of the better, not just the city, but they're on my list as two of the better freshmen in a really deep freshman class.
Nice. All right. Let's move it along here to the five. You wonder how should we do this? Let's do the breakouts first. We just talked some underappreciated teams. I'm going to go, well, let's start this up. We kind of picked these five together. One of the guys I was excited about, it sounds a little silly, but Keyshawn Williams from Bloom. You know, he had high major offers and stuff. Ended up, he's going to Tulsa. And everybody knows Keyshawn Williams. He's going to be one of the stars. But I think he has the ability. Well, we know he has the ability, but I think he's going to be able to put the consistency together this season and be that consistent top line guy that Bloom is going to need, and maybe even be a guy that's going to bubble into our player of the year conversation when he is the best player and the consistent scorer on possibly the number one team. I can see a way in which Keyshawn Williams' profile gets even higher this season.
It's going to be interesting with him just because of their balance. They have just that, you know, that star-studded cast of Division I players, including on the perimeter. So, you know, I think while I believe that he has got the potential to be the breakout guy in that group, you know, their thing is going to be about balance and chemistry, and with Donovan Newby and Dante Maddox and Martise Mitchell and Kristen Shumate. So there's just so many pieces. It'll be interesting to see how that materializes. My guy is a guy who just put together a phenomenal spring and summer and had really very little going on recruiting-wise and then exploded. Connor Kuchera of St. Viator. You know, last year, St. Viator had that terrific tandem, the senior tandem of Trey Calvin and Jeremiah Hernandez, and they deserved all the headlines they received and the production and led them to Division I mid-major offers and where they're playing now in college. And Kuchera got a slow start last year because of an injury. And he was, you know, just slowly coming back. But you could just, you know, it's why he landed on my list in the spring of breakout guys to watch for recruiting purposes. And he did just that. He lived up to that. But he can score it in a variety of ways. He's crafty and getting to the rim. He's a crafty finisher. He's got great outside shooting touch. He comes off screens, uses screens. And there is nobody, Mike, I don't think there's anybody who does a better job of moving without the basketball than Connor Kuchera, which is really helps and aids his success. So he's my break, one of my real breakout guys. He's, you know, front and center now with those two guys gone at St. Viator.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things go at St. Viator this season after. Boy, it seems like they've been one of the primary teams in the scene for quite a long time now. It's been a nice run for them. My next guy, Antoine Bloxton at Bogan. We talked a little bit about him on the first podcast of the season. He's a kid who, boy, what I think he became eligible in early February last year. And he was spectacular immediately. Came in, scored 15 in that epic double overtime or Bogan game. in the city tournament came down to literally crazy off balance shot he took in double overtime, almost made it. Then he went on, you know, that run. What did he score, 20 or 24 to beat Morgan Park in the sectional final, take down Adam Miller and Marcus Watson. So this kid is already became a star late last year on that run, and now with a full season and with him taking over for Jordan Booker, I really think Antoine Blockston, if everything goes as it should and he's on the court and playing, is going to be an absolute monster this season.
Yeah, he's electric. I mean, that's what he is. When his mind's right on the court and he's playing, he really doesn't force things too much, which I like. And he knows how to play. There's a lot to like with Blocks. And the only junior on the list is what our next one is, and that's John Polakidis out of Neuqua Valley. He's a 6'5", versatile wing. Well, he's really grabbed the attention of college coaches. There are a bunch of high majors a few have offered, and there's a whole bunch that are just kind of continuing their evaluation of Polakidis. He has got an old school game to him, this mid range step back shots. He's got great range out to the 3-point line. He's just wired to score. And John Polakidis is going to have a big junior year. He kind of broke out last year. He put up some numbers as a sophomore, but I think he's taken a big step forward. I think his confidence level is higher. He's gotten his body is a little bit different now and in a better way. So I think he's set for a big junior year, and he's among the top 10 prospects. I think I have him like the sixth or seventh ranked prospect in the entire class and in the class of 2021. And there's a lot of juniors, Mike, we could throw on here because that's kind of their time right now to break out. But there's a number we could put on here, but he's the one I went with. And I think he's going to have the type of year to live up to what we're talking about today.
How do you think – I get an interesting preview from Neuqua Valley. They have an awful lot back from last season. They got some good size. They like have an experienced point guard. I'm interested in them this season more than in the last few. How do you think they might do?
Yeah, you know, they are my pick in that, you know, in what's okay. going to be a very wide open conference.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm picking them, but in a story, you could literally, this is going off topic here. That conference, Mike, it's only six teams, but every one of those teams, Naperville Central, Naperville North, even DeKalb, although DeKalb just lost a key player, ACL injury.
Wabonzi's got the
Marcus Skeets back,
yeah.
And then Ben Schweiger, who's going to be a breakout junior as well. So that league, while maybe not, they may not have a top 25 team all year, it's going to be unbelievably competitive. So yeah, I do have them. I think the Western suburbs are down, and I think, you know, one of those teams could really take advantage of that. And by that, I mean in March, and, you know, Bennett's in 3A now. So there's a lot of opportunity for a team to kind of progress for the next 3-4 months heading into March. And Neuqua Valley could be one of those teams.
Yeah, good size. A lot of football players coming back that he's expecting a lot out of. Some 3-year varsity guys. Yeah, it should be an interesting year over there. I'm kind of high on Wabonzi Valley. They were a team I really liked Skeet last year an awful lot. And I've been reading all about how Schweiger has improved. So
yeah,
should be interesting.
He's a kid. I mean, he could be on this list as well, because he's a kid who averaged like literally 3 or 4 points a game last year. And I'd be shocked if he wasn't a 15 point per game guy this year as a junior.
The last guy on the list is a senior who's kind of been Aquan Smart, combo guard over at Niles North, who I think a lot of people are aware of, but it sounds like he's taken some real steps forward this spring and summer. And he's on also a team that is going to be interesting.
Yeah, because they're going to play fast. They're going to play up and down. It really caters to how he plays. He is a smooth up and down athlete, and he's been a name that's been around for a while. And he had a very good junior year, but his talent level, athletic ability, and upside is through the roof. And you put those things together, and in the style and system that they play, he could end up putting up some big numbers. He's going to need to, I think, for that team to yeah. you know, to challenge, you know, some of the top 25 teams. But yeah, he is bona fide, true, legit Division I player who a lot of people had questions going into the spring and summer. No more. They don't have any more of those questions.
Next up, the underappreciated, led off by the man who was going to be on my All-State team, Dom Martinelli from Glenbrook South. I mean, I guess I don't have the numbers here in front of me. I could have looked them up, but they were insane last year.
I mean, 23, 24 yeah. points a game. And I don't, I'm going to guess 7 or 8 rebounds. And
I'm going to guess more.
You're not going to find a more blue-collar, hard-nosed, productive player. And, you know, he plays multiple positions. He'll defend, and he makes big plays when they matter in big games. And he's kind of got this way about him of which he overcomes some any deficiencies he has, you know, being a little bit undersized as a four man. Sometimes he plays the four, but he's out in the perimeter now more. And I think he'll take more perimeter jumpers this year. He's impossible not to love and appreciate.
Next up, a public league player that we didn't cover a ton last year, but just enough, especially at the end, Devin Davis of Westinghouse, who had a really good Hinsdale Central tournament. I believe he scored 30 against Oswego East. He was outscored by Ray J. Dennis that night, so didn't get the headlines and lost the game. And then late in the year, I was at Corliss for a game, and Devin Davis, once again, was an absolute monster. Had 32 points, led him back in the fourth, but they came up short to Corliss. You know, and Deshaun Dyson got the headlines that night. Well, I think this is the year where Devin Davis is going to put up those 30-point games semi-regularly, and he's going to get the headlines because Westinghouse is going to pull out some wins against some good teams with everybody they've got back. And he's going to be that kind of guard in the public league on one of the teams in the middle of the red that is just putting up crazy numbers all year.
And he did all year, Mike, and still didn't get kind of the love and the respect. Yeah. I mean, it started in Thanksgiving when he went. I think he put up 30 on Bennett and Fenwick.
Fenwick.
He's a microwave. He can score the basketball in the backcourt and little pull up game three. I mean, he'll get to the rim, even at his size. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as they make that move, you know, how things fare for him.
One more thing about him. I can't wait to watch him play his little brother on another team.
Right.
That does not happen very often. Yeah.
At Whitney Young, Dalen Davis, freshman point guard. So another name on this all underappreciated list is Bo Frericks out of Cary Grove. Cary Grove getting a lot of love, getting a lot of attention, all new to them. Nobody can say we're not pumping up the Fox Valley Conference. but he's an elite shooter, Mike. And, you know, he grabbed the attention too of, you know, I can't, it's funny what happens in these live periods.
Yeah.
You know, Bo Frericks goes nuts like for a game. And he ended up signing with Division II Lewis, but the amount of Division I schools in about a 12-minute period that either texted me or hunting me down at Ridgewood or wherever it might have been or wherever that day was and asked me about him just because they're always looking for shooters. And he is as good as they come shooting the basketball. So, you know, he's a little bit underappreciated, put up numbers last year. It's kind of where he plays is why he's underappreciated at this point. But now they're getting some attention. And in preseason attention, nonetheless, it's still attention, and we'll see how that fares for them going forward.
Don't let me down, Cary Grove. You're in this preseason Super 25. I want wins. Stack them up.
Preseason Super 25. I just did a little feature on them. So yeah, it's good for them though. I mean, it's not over hype. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they won games last year. They got 2 scholarship kids back. They've got they've been building for this year. What they're getting right now, I think is deserving.
I have not looked at the schedule yet, but hopefully hopefully for me, not for them. Hopefully for me, they're still playing those Saturday matinees and I can go check out a bunch of those games. cause that'll be fun. Everyone in the conference hates it. They want to play Friday nights like everybody else or Saturday night. But yeah, it's very convenient if I can hit a nice 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Cary Grove game. Next up, the man who delivered, the kid, the boy, whatever, Nate Shockey, who delivered the Christmas miracle at the York tournament last season, scored 17 points while on a busted ankle, hit the two crucial free throws with 29 seconds left to give York the Jack Tosh title. That game was so much fun. That gym was just packed against Downer South. I really thought Downer South was going to win that game through most of it. One of the highlights of the season for me, I don't even know how much we talked about in the podcast because it was such a busy week, but that York final last year was so much fun. Nate Shockey was the hero, and it sounds like he's had a really nice spring and summer to put it together. And I think he only averaged, 12 or 14 or something last year, but he should have a big season.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he averaged that much, but I just believe that, that was a 29-win York team that had a lot of balance and I think they had four guys in double figures, and I just now it's his team, and he's going to North Dakota, signed with North Dakota. He's a Division I 6'2" guard who can score it in multiple ways, and I think he's a little bit under, like, while he's on the list, he's underappreciated and overlooked a little bit. And as is our final player, who I think we both love, Billy Durkin out of Hinsdale South, plays with energy, a motor. Can really shoot it. He is into it. For 32 minutes, he kind of just oozes that mentality. And Hinsdale South is going to be a player this year. They have a shot in that West Suburban Gold. With Proviso East, Willowbrook, Morton. And Billy Durkin's the chief reason, because he had a very, very good summer, and he's an exciting player to watch.
He's one of those kids, I'm always going to think of him as a younger kid, but he's just from the start been ready to contribute, hit some really big shots in games I've seen. It'll be interesting to see if he, and they have a big too over there in Hinsdale, Aaron Timms.
Aaron Timms.
And it sounds like Billy's younger brother, Bobby. So maybe he's going to be the young version of Billy Durkin, and we're going to get senior Billy Durkin. So yeah, it should be interesting to see what Hinsdale South can put together this year. Next up, we're going to hit our five storylines that we are going to be watching this season. Number one, it's the storyline every year. Maybe we obsess about it too much, but I think a lot of people do. It's the Player of the Year race, and this is a definite race. This is two huge top contenders, Adam Miller at Morgan Park, DJ Stewart at Whitney Young. They're both nationally ranked kids. They're both going to be up for the McDonald's All-American game, and they're both going to be going after the Player of the Year all season long. This is like Sharon Collins versus John Shire, the public league star versus the Duke kid. It's going to be a really fun battle to watch all year.
Well, I think the reason why it is a storyline every year, Mike, is because the storylines are often different. Last year it was who the heck is going to be Player of the Year? Yeah. You know what I mean? And it developed and materialized over the course of the year with some names that came out of the woodwork. And then there's other years where you kind of know that there isn't a storyline. And, it's the Player of the Year for somebody to lose. So, yeah, it's no question that, they are front and center and at the top of any Player of the Year race. I think the intriguing addition to the storyline would be there's two juniors who are high major recruits, highly ranked nationally, who are going to put up monster numbers. Max Christie at Rolling Meadows and Bryce Hopkins at Fenwick are going to put up huge numbers. They did last year as sophomores, and they're only better. And Louisville just picked up the commitment from Bryce Hopkins. And then of course, Max Christie is going to have his pick of just about any school he wants. So they're going to be 25, 26, 28 point per game guys that put up some monumental performances. Now, the Player of the Year race, if people really want to dive into it, there's a lot of things that go into it, and big moments on a big stage matter. Yeah. The success of a team matters. It's not simply, the numbers game or even where they're ranked. So It just happens to be, though, that Adam Miller and DJ Stewart are highly ranked, unbelievably talented, big numbers, and have the platform, Planet Young and Morgan Park, to do some of the things I just mentioned.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for Max Christie to get those right. big moments. And, you know, they're going to have to win. That's all it comes down to. I mean, he could put together an Anthony Davis-like season, but it's not going to be enough for Player of the Year if his team has an Anthony Davis-like season. The other guy I would mention, Jeremiah Williams, dark horse, I think. If Simeon overachieves or, you know, even plays up to their top five ranking, you know how I love the numbers spread. You know, Jeremiah Williams averaged 18 points and 9.8 rebounds last year.
With a ton of blocks and steals.
Exactly, yeah. So
And assists.
Yeah, he does it all. And if he leads Simeon to some big things, I think that's a name that could definitely get in there.
Yeah, our next storyline is looking at Class 3A and the shakeup in 3A, the potential of 3A, and how different 3A is this year. And I really mean it's different because I am probably president of the 3A Critical Club, and it's just people might think it's disrespect towards Class 3A, and I guess it has been over the years because the upper echelon can compete all the time with 4A. You know, Morgan Park wins 3A, whatever. They're as good as anybody. But it's just how the road they have to take to get it done just is not like it is in 4A. And that goes across the board with anybody. This year, there is a lot of – we started talking about it the first podcast, Mike. There's five of your top 10 teams in your rankings are Class 3A teams. And some of those new additions – you know, some of the headliners are starting with Niles Notre Dame. They dropped to 3A. They're a top 10 team. And in 3A, they could get to Peoria. You know, I mean, it's realistic for them. You look at a Bennett Academy team that's been just a power for over a decade. They dropped to 3A. So it's just and the depth goes beyond that. I mean, St. Ignatius is 3A. Deerfield is 3A. I know I'm missing some here. I did an article on this.
DePaul Prep, Fenwick.
Yeah. So it's going to be Riverside Brookfield is 3A. So there is just this surplus of teams that add to the quality and the depth that we'll see how the season plays out. But right now on paper, I don't recall a deeper 3A, deeper depth, not the top two or three, four. I'm just saying the depth that we see this year in Class 3A.
That's exactly what's important for its legitimacy. A team like Hinsdale South is now in 3A. I mean, we're going to knock on wood here. We are likely to have everyone playing for a sectional title in 3A be over 500. I mean, that's
yeah, and having to win. If you look at the 3A road over the years, you kind of have to win one really tough, maybe two games to get to Peoria. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those 4A sectionals, I mean, you got to win a tough regional championship game. And that's just the big difference in 3A.
So yeah, it'll be nice. And it'll just be, if we can stop complaining about it and enjoy it for what it is, it'll make our lives a lot nicer. So fingers crossed that turns out, but it looks good. Next up is, we didn't decide we were going to skip this one. The Bloom storyline.
No, that's a good storyline.
Yeah, I guess I just wrote two whole stories about it that nobody's seen
yet,
so I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and
everybody else isn't.
And storyline, and I think there's multiple storylines. And my quick take is just A, being the hunted. You know, last year, everybody, there are some people out there that it's weird to me, but are anti-Bloom. And I've heard it from some city people. You know, just, oh, yeah, you're anointing Bloom. Oh, yeah, everybody's talking about Bloom. Oh, yeah. And they want a shot at Bloom, man. and I don't blame them. I mean, Bloom's got to go out and prove some things. But it's no denying the talent level with four or five Division I players and the experience, and they've been playing together. And the storyline is pretty cool because they've been playing together. But yeah. The story to me is, yes, they do have to go out and earn it and live up to this ranking. And they'll have that opportunity to do so in multiple spots in their schedule, starting at Thanksgiving time, and then obviously the Pontiac Holiday Tournament, and they're in the Chicago Elite Classic. They play in my when sides collide. They play in that in mid January, so they're going to have some opportunities to kind of, you know, sink or swim with that number one ranking. There's no doubt they're going to be really, really good and a factor in March, but it's just, can they live up to that top billing?
They are going to a national tournament in right around the new year down in New Orleans. It's around the Sugar Bowl. Like, it's been going on for a long time. National Prep Tournament Classic or something. I was trying to find out information on it online today. I couldn't see the lineup of other teams, but Bloom will be there. And I don't know. Joe is totally right about the city's reaction to Bloom. I think there's a multi-layered, multi-reasons for that. However, I don't know if I should be saying this, but I have a good authority that if any of those teams want to play Bloom, there is a date open. And Bloom is waiting for the game, and they've asked several of those public league teams if they'd like to play. So that would be fun for all of us, especially a team in 3A that they have no way to see otherwise. That would be an awful lot of fun. I think you're guessing who I'm talking about there. I think
a rematch of last year?
Exactly, yeah. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Because Bloom's, you know, going to see Simeon. Well, they could see them at Pontiac. They could see them in the sectional. So that's there. Young would be in the way of any 4A state title they wanted to win. But the only way they're going to play Morgan Park is if they manage to schedule that game. I think.
Let's see, I know the I interrupt you. Sorry. Yeah, I know the Chicago Elite Classic schedules a certain way. But man, would that be the ideal?
Oh, yes.
You want to. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Because there's heat after that game. That game was on fire last year. Yeah.
You know, you put a Bloom Morgan Park or a Bloom Young in the last game of Saturday night, the Chicago Elite Classic. Oh, man.
And I guarantee you that Adam Miller and Marcus Watson and Isaiah Burrell, I think they want a shot at Bloom more than anything else this season.
That, you know, you and I both have our own take on, well, similar take on out of state, you know, teams playing our teams here in Illinois. But yeah, that just came to my mind.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. And, you know, the thing is, this Bloom group we've been talking about for a while, we're prepared for this year. You know, they haven't won anything yet. You know, you look back, they knocked out of the playoffs pretty early last year. It was the sectional semi HF, a team they'd beaten twice. They lost in the title game at Pontiac, didn't have a real great performance in that to Curie. So there's still an awful lot to prove for them.
And that to me is really going to be my intrigue at Pontiac. There's a lot. We'll go on at Pontiac, but do they come out of there, you know, with a title and kind of pump their chest and say, all right, we're here. And, you know, that remains to be seen to win that big one down at Pontiac.
Something I was researching today when I was doing some of my Bloom top stuff, Dante Maddox Sr., the coach, I didn't realize what a great 2016 not a great season overall. Remember, it was that Austin Ritchie team? It was Austin Ritchie, not a lot much else, but he beat my ballyhooed Joliet West team at Pontiac, you know, knocked us out of there, our five stud seniors, and then that same team took out Alonzo Verge in the playoffs and that Thornton team. So that's a pretty solid two skills.
Oh, yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah, I mean...
That was at Thornton, too, I believe.
Yeah, that's some really... Dante Maddox Sr. might be a little bit better than he's even getting credit for, kind of looking back at that stuff before he had this team of superstars. Next up is... Well, we're going to stay south. We're going to be in the south an awful lot this season. The south suburbs are rising up. They're back, we think, after a lot of years when we've talked about a lot of other areas a lot more. Basically over the history of the podcast, right?
Well, yeah, I remember... South suburban people getting all over me or all over us about not see it shows you
it's time
when you got teams players, we're going to talk, and there's plenty to talk about in south suburbs. Yeah, I mean, you go through that list, Mike, you can see it in your rankings, but you know, whether it be HF or it starts at the Thanksgiving tournament this week, and Thornton's in there. It's great to have it's just, you know, those phrases where certain teams are good, basketball's better, and Thornton's one of them.
Yeah.
When Thornton is good and relevant, especially in the South Suburbs, You know, it really matters. Hillcrest has been a staple. Marion Catholic's rise over the past decade has really enhanced the South Suburbs. HF, always ranked in the teens. It's just, and there's some good storylines outside of those upper echelon teams. Yeah. You know, whether it be a team like Eisenhower, you know, Oak Lawn, you know, I just think there is a lot to watch in the South Suburbs this winter.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like three. It's the depth is there now. You know, we've talked about Oak Lawn and Oak Forest. You know, Tinley Park's got A.J. Casey back. Kankakee thinks they're going to have a very solid team. Lincoln Way East, you know, is pretty intriguing this year. The Southwest with both the Joliets are going to be good. We know what Bolingbrook always brings. So, yeah, it's almost everywhere you go, every little pocket. I mean, TF South and TF North are expected to have some pretty good seasons. So every pocket you go to has got at least an above-average group of teams. It should be very exciting. One thing we haven't touched on, did we last, that the Riches are combining, which is going to be very interesting next year, for sure. And I think I'm going to try and make it point of seeing all three teams this year to kind of see what we're going to have next year when they're all together. But that could become a real powerhouse program. We've never had three schools become one, right?
No.
I would
hope not.
Yeah. And we've seen what happens when two become one.
If you could pick any three schools to form, any three in the same district, I wonder what would be the best. I'm trying to think of the three teams you could put together.
All of the Oaks this year, even though they're not in the same district.
Yeah. our fifth and final storyline, it's a little bit different. It's just a kind of a look at a conference and a race and what it's become. And I find it interesting that what is going to happen in the Mid-Suburban League. The Mid-Suburban League East and the Mid-Suburban League West has something this year that a lot of leagues do not have: star power. You got Max Christie, we've talked about, the number one, the highest ranked player in the entire state of Illinois, regardless of class nationally, is Max Christie. He's got the Duke offer, all the Big Ten offers, and endless list. And you got Chris Hodges at Schaumburg, 6'8 big man who came on last year, is really developed nicely and committed early here to Wisconsin. We got, you know, Cam Kraft that we mentioned, a 20-point per game score as a freshman. And then you've just got these teams that I think it's really wide open. I talked about Buffalo Grove, who I think is probably the favorite. Not probably. They are the favorite to me in the Mid-Suburban League East over Max Christie and Rolling Meadows. Prospect's always going to be there, the prospect.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll bet on prospect right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're you know, always going to be right there in the mix. And then you look at the Mid-Suburban League West, which, you know, Fremd has been, you know, over the last 5 years especially, really been kind of the staple in that side of the league. Now Cohen's risen up here, and Schaumburg rose up last year. Palatine could be sneaky good here this year. So I just think it's going to be a fun race on both sides, and very wide open, and with some fun in those gyms on a Friday night with watching the Max Christies of the world and Hodges.
Yeah, basically, I mean, one kind of way to look at it is you got Prospect and Fremd, who we know what they bring every year, and none of the star players are on those two teams, you know,
right.
So who knows what we're going to get. I will admit, though, I'm a little disappointed. If you'd have told me that by junior year, you know, because we knew about Hodges and Christie as freshmen, they did a lot, that neither one would even have a team in the rankings in the preseason junior year, I would have been disappointed. You know, there's not a lot they can do about that. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I thought maybe some players would have joined them by now. They definitely would have in other areas.
Yeah, I don't think it goes down much in the Mid-Suburban.
I know. Like, but, well, with Christie, I thought maybe they would, you know?
It's Mike promoting the venture of... Anyway, but I'll be very surprised if Rolling Meadows... You know, if Rolling Meadows had a bunch of seniors this year with Christie,
yeah,
you know, they just don't. They're going to be young. And Rolling Meadows, I would almost be guarantee it's a long way away, but 12 months from now, I'm pretty certain they'll be in your preseason top 25 with the players they have and everything comes together. They've got some, you know, some younger players that are coming along, and they only got two or three seniors in the entire team. So yeah, that's a team that they're a year away is what I'm saying.
All right, Cameron Christie, Max's younger brother, is going to be on varsity this year. So we'll keep an eye on that. But all right, that's
another talented freshman.
Yeah, the freshmen are fun. We'll talk about that. I tried to make that a storyline this time, but Joe correctly said,
we got time to talk about freshmen. Yeah,
we have 4 years. He's right. So I let that go. You know I love talking about freshmen and sophomores. All right. It's kind of hard to believe, but the next time Joe and I get together for a No Shot Clock podcast – will not only be our 101st, but we will have seen some basketball. Thank goodness. Here's a look, a little bit at the Thanksgiving week. It's not, you know, actually there's a good game or two every day, but the Thanksgiving tournaments overall are not so great these days. It's pretty much Chicago Heights and, good luck to you. But, on Monday we have the epic showdown that, to their credit, Tyrone Slaughter at Young and Nick Irvin at Morgan Park have put together for us. I've been whining about this for a long time. I didn't like how the high school basketball season kind of began with a whimper during football state and all that stuff. But that's changing. Morgan Park versus Young. Number 2 versus number 3 at Chicago State at 7:30 at Chicago State, not St. Xavier, which we thought it's been changed to Chicago State. Joe, how excited are you to get to go to Chicago State in November?
Yeah, I don't get excited in March. No, I love the idea. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I feel gypped that it's not going to happen later just because it's the two player of the year kids. You know what I mean? That would be really cool if, you know, maybe they'll meet in the city playoffs. Yeah. But it's all good. But you would have loved to see Morgan Park play Young. And maybe it will happen, at some other time. But yeah, it's going to be fun. I'd be interested to see the crowd on an opening night of the season when nobody's really talking. You know, it takes a while for the basketball season to heat up. So it'll be interesting to see this type of a game at this particular time of the season and how it draws. My outside thinking of what.
I don't think it's going to take any time at all to heat up. I think it's going to take about 3 minutes of this game, and the season will officially be heated up. I think there'll be a great crowd. I really do. I think everybody's as stuck. I mean, the Bulls are crappy. There's nothing else to watch. The Bears are out of it. This is going to be huge. It's going to be really exciting. What I'm worried about, though, you know, we're talking about this player of the year race. Anytime we talk about it, because they played on the first day of the season, all we're going to hear is, well, he already beat him, whoever wins.
Right.
You know, literally we're going to hear that a million times.
To just entice what we have been talking about on this podcast, what I really like to see happen is both of them just have monster performances. Because, I mean, if they have monster performances and they lose, you know, I would hate to see – like, what does it do if one wins, has a monster game, the other one loses and is awful, has just this uncharacteristic 3 of 17 from the field or some just horrific opening night game, and partly due to opening night. But, hey, they're seniors. They've been through this. They played a lot of big stuff, so they should be ready.
It's going to be hard to shake off if that happens because everybody's going to remember. Yeah, it's very exciting, no doubt about it. I was a little bit more excited to go to St. Xavier since I haven't been there in a few years, but I'm ready for Chicago State. As far as I know, tickets are just available at the door for that one. I haven't heard anything about the schools selling them. But yeah, it should be an awful lot of fun. Also, that night is a fun one. Probably where I would have been if not for this epic showdown. Tinley Park and A.J. Casey going to make his debut against Solorio, which is a fun young team, and their own young star, sophomore Donovan Jones. I think that's at Mount Carmel at 5:30. Also that night is St. Rita and Kenwood. St. Rita, Roshan Russell takes over. I'm hearing things about some freshmen they've got, two or three good players. They're going to face Kenwood, new coach there as well. Tuesday, some decent games over at Chicago Heights, of course, but the big one is Fenwick Westinghouse. Two teams in the preseason rankings, Devin Davis, Bryce Hopkins, another superstar showdown. And then Wednesday night, always a really fun night. I've traditionally always gone to the HF Marion Catholic game. Probably will again, now that we hear that Marquise Irving is out for Hillcrest, most likely. They're going to play Bloom over in at Bloom. That'll be a fun one. DePaul and Niles North also play that night. Fenwick Bennett in a 3A showdown. And Mundelein Deerfield, two teams we've talked about already as well. And then we get into the weekend where Friday's matchups kind of depend on what happens. Same with Saturday. That's a quick overview of Thanksgiving week when we will get all of our overreactions. Oh, this is a good question to close the podcast, Joe. So clearly the whole area is going to overreact to a Thanksgiving week game with Morgan Park Young. It's perfectly set up for you.
Yeah, the anti-Hendrickson week of basketball is going to be the whole season's shot afterwards.
Should we predict it? That'll make people really hate us.
Predict the game?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, you got Morgan Park 2 and Young 3, and no one's played yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess I have predicted Morgan Park 2.
Morgan Park by 4. 67-63.
Yeah, I have no idea about scores, but yeah, I think Morgan Park, I mean, they're going to be so annoyed that Bloom is number one. They're annoyed that DJ Stewart won, or Adam Miller didn't win Player of the Year last year. There's a huge chip on that Morgan Park shoulder, and that's a team that doesn't necessarily need motivation, even on a normal season.
Correct.
So, yeah, good luck, Whitney Young. That could be a real buzzsaw there, but all right.
And now we've just fired Whitney Young up, so.
Yeah, they can play that over and over at practice for maybe one day. But thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week on the regular schedule with the podcast dropping on Tuesdays around noon. Thanks for listening.